Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to the 11:30 service. God bless you. We're here today in church, and if you're watching in the 11:30 service, well, I'm on the road booking it down to Hamilton because we're building an amazing location down there. And so it's just, it's good what God is doing in the church. And so God bless you. You can be seated. If you're watching online, be seated. High five someone around you. Tell them, get ready. Thank you, band. Those songs that we're singing in church today are going to be released later throughout the year. They are songs that have been written by the creative team here at this house, C3 Toronto and C3 Hamilton. And isn't that awesome? Isn't that exciting? And also, it's just amazing what the creative team are doing. Like watching that trailer of what's going to happen. So that this whole documentary is going to be like you come to church and you on Easter Sunday, and we literally are going to be telling a testimony of the Easter story in real life. And cynicism and doubt has gripped our society, but this is what the creative team have produced, and we have like professionals. Like it's amazing this documentary, and it's all done by volunteers. And the interview process, the idea came about last year. Actually, James Rayett came up with the idea, and he's just an amazing producer in our church, and. Yeah, give it up for James Rayett. He would probably hate that I'm saying that. And so, but it's just inspired because we interviewed John and Candace about the story last summer, and it's incredible. You need to bring. Don't make it one of those Sundays where you're like, oh heck, I really should have brought these people. To this church, and it's an amazing story. I'm very tempted to spoil some of it for you, but I'm not going to. And also, we have just finished celebrating 10 years as a church, and we are going into the next 10 years, and we're in Vision Builders right now, a series just that we're doing for this week and then next week. And so that's what these little books are. So if you are, if you're here in the second service or here in the first service and you haven't got one of these, lift up your hand and one of our hosts will get one to you. And that's the whole idea with these styrofoam letters, confident, up on the stage here. And this has a story with the creative team. I was just told before the service that each one of these letters was done by somebody different, and it was kind of by accident that it just had to be that way. And it was like a team of, nine people that did this. I think that's a metaphor for Vision Builders. It's not what God is doing in building the vision of this house is not done by one person. It's a group project. Somebody say it's a group project. Come on, and we're all imperfect people, but we all kind of put our hands to the plow and build this thing together and obey what God is doing. And so this particular, if you were looking at the offering screen earlier and you're like, why is there a digger on the offering screen? That's what I was thinking. But it's because there's a renovation project happening right now and on a building that we've purchased as a church, and the sacrificial giving going towards Vision Builders is going towards that. And it's something that you and I are praying for, and we're going to have a commitment Sunday next Sunday. And so you're preparing this week, praying to God as to what part that you are playing in this story and how you are sacrificially giving towards the vision that God has for this house. Now, if you're a visitor or you don't want to be a part of this, it's an invitation, okay? And so the Bible says is that we should always give cheerfully in a faith-filled attitude towards God. And so I'm going to preach about it and preach the vision and everything and obviously invite you to be a part of it, but I want you to know that our primary purpose is advancing the kingdom of God and making sure that you're connected with God and you know God, and that if you're not at a position where you feel like you want to be a part of it, well, don't. Good? All right, you're a bit relaxed now? So the idea is confident of this. And so, so I want you to read this book like at home, and I want you to take it to God and pray. And there's information here, and I'll tell you a little bit. But we get this scripture from Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. And this is one of this is just a little formality before I get into the preach today. The preach is going to be from Matthew chapter 3 and 4, if you want to turn to the preach text today. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6 says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. This is Paul talking to the Philippian church. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership with the gospel. And so we're engaging with partnering with what God is doing in advancing the gospel. And that's what this is about. Partnering to build this little install in church. And from the first day until now, being confident of this. Somebody say, confident of this. That he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And so there's different versions of what this means, began a good work, as in there is the whole God story from the beginning of time to when Christ returns and the end of days and all that, and he's carrying that story on to completion. He is carrying your life arc story on to completion, and he is carrying every vision that he gives us. When it comes from God, God is faithful. He's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, and he carries it to completion. And so we're in the middle of a story with this particular building. We purchased 322 and 330 Geary Avenue. And so there is a renovation project that's happening, and that's going to be used for, you know, studio space, midweek space, offices, and all the information's in the book. And there's a gap right now of about $750,000 that we want to be able to pay for the renovation in full by the end of this year. And if we don't use an available line of credit for us, the information in the book is a little confusing if you read it. So I want to clarify it, that if we don't want to use a line of credit that's available to us as a church, then it would be about $1.4 million would cover that amount. But we have a safety net if we need it. We don't want to use the safety net. So there's that's kind of information there. And then being confident of this, that God's going to complete a work that we've started, is the zoning issue. There is a zoning issue with the church and with churches, places of worship, gaining zoning in our city and around this area. Now, in the Kathleen Wynne government 10 years ago in 2013, places of worship were outruled from having zoning in places of employment lands. And that's what our building is zoned for, place of employment lands. And all we need to do as a church is to convince the city that we can add place of worship back on it without neglecting the place of employment lands, because that was a priority of the Kathleen Wynne government back then. Even though, you know, if you really think about it and dig deep, it doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense. And so, but now that we're under a Ford government, the priority has shifted. Maybe too much information, but I'm sharing because we're in a battle, and maybe there's someone out there listening to this that can help a brother out, or that can help God out. And so now that we're in a Ford government, the priority shifted to affordable housing. But the problem with the rule that they made 10 years ago is it actually directly fights against the affordable housing priority. So by kicking places of worship out of employment lands, our only option is to fight with affordable housing. So now the laws, and this is sometimes government don't even understand how illogical it is of some of the rules and things that they have put into place. The bottom line is that we're confident that who began a good work will bring it to completion. All right, so I can't stand up here in front of this church and tell you how it's all gonna pan out, but we will be able to tell the story at the end looking backwards about the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. So when you're in the middle of something, understand that you can be confident that God will bring what he needs to bring into completion. Somebody give God some praise. Amen. Amen. And I still don't think that... See, sometimes when I use Evernote, it just doesn't work. This is so funny that it's happening today. All right, I'm just going to go. All right, so Matthew chapter 3 and verse... Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. I was very inspired. If you haven't checked out the Lent podcast, so we're in the middle of Lent right now. And this is a liturgical season for the church around the world. And if you haven't checked out the Lent podcast, you need to do that. Katie Jurasamy, Pastor Katie Jurasamy, Jojo Awiwi, Karis, Rayet actually killed it, like, and have been killing it. But this last week, talking about reliance, somebody say reliance, has just absolutely, I was already picking up in God as to talking about actually not being self-sufficient in and of ourselves, but when it comes to stretching out before God and giving and trusting God, is that we have to be dependent and reliant on Him. And as we're going through this week of Lent, that's what they were talking about in the podcast, and it really just helps us in understanding what Jesus went through in the wilderness experience is what we're talking about. And so check out that podcast. Just go to C3 Toronto's podcast, and there's the Little Lent podcast, and it's the intro is just so endearing. It's Jonathan Martin's voice, and it's so rich and just warm. You listen to Jonathan Martin, it's like, hello, welcome to C3 Toronto's Lent podcast. And it's just like, I was hungry until I heard his voice, and now I'm filled with the goodness of the Lord, rich and robust. And so the Lent season it's actually Jesus' fast, the 40 days, and I thought I'd preach on that today, that we could dive into it today and relate to it today, all right? So let's get there. And I'm just going to have to do it with half-shaped notes. So let's see how we go. Matthew chapter 3. And verse 13 talks about Jesus getting baptized before he went in there. So I'll give you a little bit of the prelude to the story. Then Jesus came from Galilee, verse 13, to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John, and this is John the Baptist, obviously, John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Like, I can't believe it. Even Jesus was reliant. How crazy is that? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this and to fulfill all righteousness or right living before God. This is how God wanted it. Then John consented. Imagine if he didn't. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and the moment of heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, alighting on him. And the voice came from heaven and said, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Then, so with all this affirmation and all this great moment, then Jesus was led by God, led by the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tested or to be tempted. Any wilderness experience that you and I go through, that you and I face, is an opportunity to prove God. It's a test to prove not yourself, it's a test to prove God. Lent, fasting, is a voluntary testing experience to not prove that you can survive without eating. It's to prove God. Now, many of us, I hope no one's actually going through the Lent experience just completely not eating. And if you are doing that and you feel called to it, whatever. You need to be talking in the context of community. I hope that God has totally supernaturally led you into that. But most of us are doing some sort of partial fast, like not eating lunch during the day. So if you want to join Lent or something like that, or you're just cutting back all sugar and alcohol, or you're cutting back social media or whatever you're doing, that is some sort of partial fast. It's something that has driven you, that you are actually saying, no, I want to be more dependent on God through something that normally satisfies my flesh. I want to give that to God. And so this is a wilderness experience. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Duh. All right. He was hungry. And 40 days and 40 nights. Now, the Israelites were through the wilderness for 40 years, and that was a testing. Noah in the ark, 40 days, 40 nights. It was a cleansing and a testing. Okay, so the tempter came to him and said, here's the first one. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on a highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God. Now, it's not that he's doubting whether he's the Son of God. It's more like, oh, so you're the Son of God? It's more sarcastic like that. It's not like, hey, the devil doesn't know you're the Son of God. Devil knew exactly who Jesus was, but he's pushing him. Oh, so you think you're the Son of God? It's kind of more in that voice. That's exactly how the devil sounds. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. It is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And he quotes Psalm 91. This is that they will lift you up in their hands and not strike your foot against the stone. And then Jesus answered him, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So this is the answer to the second temptation, third temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, so even higher again, and showed him, so there's a sequence, like the bread, the high, and then the highest. Kingdoms of the world, and then and give you all the splendor. All of this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. I love that. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him. Somebody say it. Only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. That's good, because when you and I are going through a trial, when we're going through a place of perseverance where things just aren't making sense, there's confusion and disillusionment, and maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's in finances, maybe it's just even getting through Lent or whatever season that you're in, and you're feeling like, I don't know where God's at in this moment, and there's that gap there, there's a temptation to serve a whole bunch of other things and not only God. But that's the test. Do we believe God is God? And so we got these three temptations. Temptation one is the temptation to feed self. Temptation two is the temptation to trust self. Temptation three is the temptation to worship self. Temptation one is to feed self, to live selfishly. Temptation two is to rely on self, to trust self, to be self-sufficient. And temptation three is to worship self. Typically, by the way we do temptation one and two determines if we're actually living number three. And so temptation one, I say, God is, you got to put up the points, because, all right, God's purpose never leaves us hungry. God's purpose never leaves us hungry. And so the temptation here is to live for self. When the devil says he's looking at Jesus who is hungry, And he says to Jesus, I recognize that there is a need going on in your life. If you guys are trying to solve me, yeah, that's not going to help me. If you guys, all right, sure. It's not though. It's just my scriptures. So I've got as much. So God. Thanks, Jeff. Everybody give Jeff a hand. So when we feel like we have a need, or when God gives us something, and God has given you and I something, and so the devil's saying to Jesus, Jesus, if you are, because you're the Son of God, why don't, and I recognize that you're hungry. If you're the Son of God, you can actually, don't you have the means to just go and kind of get what's yours? God has given you this place that he's given you an identity, and he's given you something from this baptism, and he's recognized you as the Son of God. You have a means, use it for yourself. And it's the same temptations with Adam and Eve, that they didn't actually beat the temptations in Genesis 3, but then Jesus had to fight and beat for those same temptations. He became the second Adam that we read in Matthew chapter 4. And he becomes the new Adam. And so this temptation is that when God gives to you and I the ability and the finances and the things in our world, the temptation is to use it for ourselves. You and I have needs. Does anybody here in the room have needs? Does anybody here watching at the 11:30 service have needs? You and I have needs. And when we feel like that we're not sure if our needs are going to get met, there's this test before God to say that we have an ability to trust God to meet our needs. John 4, verse 34, and the need is, so it's either live for self or to live for the purposes of God, the vision of God. And so Jesus said this in John 4, 34, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of the one who sent me, to do his work. And so it wasn't that Jesus didn't want to get fed. At the end of the story, we see the angels attending to him. So Jesus was happy for supernatural provision. He just wasn't happy doing it the devil's way. He wasn't happy taking matters into his own hands. And as a Christian, as a Christ follower, you and I have to settle and resolve in ourselves that we, if we do it God's way, what God is saying, this is my purpose, this is my will, and when we stretch out and do it his way, and often and his ways are higher than our ways, then we understand that we aren't meant to meet our own needs. And if God isn't saying it to us, we shouldn't act on it, because that's not where our food comes from. And so when you and I feel stretched to give and feel stretched to do things God way and feel stretched to live life for ourselves, or even in Vision Builders, we feel stretched to give and to be a part of God's will and God's vision for the church. And then the next thought comes in, what if I'm left hungry? So I'm fasting and I'm 40 days in this desert and I'm stinking hungry. What if God doesn't come through? What if it's 41 days? What was Jesus thinking on the 38th day, on the 39th day? And how are the Israelites behaving in the wilderness on the 27th year? And we don't give them enough credit that through the wilderness, like they went to idolatry and they went to other things, but man, you and I need to, when we are called to persevere for a week, we're like, oh man, they like worship the idols and they departed from God and they ended up trying to self-problem solve. You know, they were complaining that they didn't have water. If you and I were a week in the desert without water, I think we would have complained more than the Israelites. Let's be honest. 40 years, that was the test. And God was just bothered that they went to him in a complaining attitude instead of went to him in an attitude of praise. And when you know God is your provider, and when you know that he will always come through, no matter how hungry you feel in whatever season that you're in life, you're just giddy and waiting for God to move because you know God will meet all your needs. Psalms 37, thanks Jeff for these notes, this is helping. Psalms 37 verse 25 says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken and the children begging for bread. Come on. Philippians 4 verse 19, and this is right as Paul is thanking for people bringing provision into the church. He's saying, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now we, in our life, we want God to meet all our needs and then we go about meeting God's needs. But it happens the other way around. If you aren't in a position in life where you actually can doubt that God is going to come through, then when will you ever get the relation that he's provider? And through the faith series, when Abraham sacrificed Isaac, that was the chasm that he was in. So if you, in your circumstance right now, are feeling in need, and it's like this hesitation, is God going to come through? Be encouraged that you're not alone. And that when God does, because we think, man, I need him now at this point, and God, we get desperate, and we yell out to God, come through now! And he's like, he's happy to chill. He's way more patient than you and I. When Lazarus died from John chapter 11, he stayed where he was 3 more days. Because the more dead he was, the more highlighted the resurrection became. And maybe your situation is just not dead enough because you won't give God glory enough. And if he provided for you right now, maybe you would actually think, oh, and hesitate, was that actually God? And so if you're frustrated right now and hungry or in need and God's calling you to stretch and God's calling you to be not about yourself but to be about his will, because the temptation that Satan was tempting Jesus with was feed self, and what Jesus needed to understand is my food comes from feeding others. And that's exactly what this is about through Vision Builders. All right, so number two, God is always reliable. God is always reliable. And this is why this is funny today, is because, you know, there are reliable things in our life. And, you know, don't you hate it when something reliable that should be reliable lets you down? Like, you know, you sit on a chair and the legs give out. Anybody sat on a plastic chair and you're like, and the legs gave out. Or your belt, you know, your belt needs to be reliable. That's a good piece of reliability. And that's why it's the belt of truth, is because the truth is always reliable. But not subjective truth, not like your truth. No, the truth of God's righteousness is always reliable. You can't make up truth and make it reliable. God's truth is reliable. How many people are happy I don't have notes now? And I honestly, this is so funny. This is such the humor of God. I literally, because this was in my notes to tell you this illustration, I literally have a recurring nightmare. I do. This is God's honest truth. This story was in my notes. I literally have a recurring nightmare as a public speaker of a dream where I get up in front of a room filled with people and my iPad crashes and I don't have notes. How hilarious is that? And so God, in the moment where we aren't sure if somebody's going to come through, we aren't sure, and when we've got, so fear will try and come in and tell us, and that's what the devil was tempting Jesus with in the second temptation, that God is in fact reliable. He quotes scripture at Jesus. He quotes Psalms 91, and I'm just going to turn there. Psalms 91, he quotes verse 11 and 12, and he leaves out verse 9 and 10. Let's read it. Verse 11, well, we read verse 11 and 12. That's the direct quote the devil will try and use, and that's what he did to Adam and Eve. He said, did God say? And when the devil tries to use God's words against you, did God say he will come through? Did God say you were really chosen? Did God say you're actually affirmed and valued and there's nothing you need to prove? Did God say that you were loved? And then when the devil puts this hesitation in our lives and the hesitation of not having notes and having to get up and just preach anyway, the hesitation of, you know, not sure if your belt's gonna work, but there's deeper hesitations that you and I can have through life. If we don't know to place our faith and trust in God, as that God is the reliable one. He is the chair legs that will never give out. He is the iPad that will never die. Jesus will never let you down, but he has to let you get to a point of hesitation, walking on water, before he reaches out with his righteous, mighty right arm and pulls you out so that you know that he rescued you. The wilderness is a test. The wilderness is a journey. And whatever it is that you're facing right now, God is more interested in what the wilderness is producing inside of you than trying to just always be your rescuer. God is so interested in graduating from being our Savior to becoming our Lord. And if we can follow Him as Lord in our life, where we don't need as much saving, we'll need as less as Savior. So let's read verse 9 and 10, the part the devil missed out. Psalms 91 verse 9 and 10 says this, if, somebody say if. God's promises are conditional. They are not automatic. Just because you're alive doesn't mean God's going to come through for you. I mean, people don't like that, but the world do not know the reliability of God because the world choose not to fold unto his refuge. If you do not submit to God, you do not get to experience his reliability. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, if you make the Most High your dwelling, the devil was saying, don't make God your dwelling. Don't make him your security. Be self-reliant. Throw yourself down and didn't. So, hey, oh, so you're the son of God, right? Throw yourself off this high point. Didn't God say that the angels would catch you? Yeah, God said the angels would catch me and they would tend to me, but not your way. Not following that way, not following the world's way, not following that voice. God had a conditional promise that as long as I stay obedient to him and do it his way, that his angels will tend to me. It says, make him your dwelling. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. And some people need to understand the reliability of God. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. And the way that seems right to man is the following what the devil is saying over our, or following what the tempter is saying over our lives. The way that seems right to man is you don't need God. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is you don't need God. You can have the knowledge of that wasn't such a bad thing. You and I get the knowledge of good and evil by only eating from the tree of life. But we thought that we can be okay without God and go and get it in and of ourselves and for ourselves. We got to lose our life from our own reliability and our own self-sufficiency. And they talked about on the podcast, you know, like the Pinterest mom that wants to have it all together. Or, I can't remember what Katie said, something about like, you've got this. You be a superhuman. Like, you've got what it takes. That's the biggest trick from the world. Because it puts us on self-sufficient mode. That if I work hard enough, if I grip my teeth hard enough, if I'm determined hard enough. Now, you need to work hard in life because faith without works is dead. But works without faith is also dead. So you can put a whole bunch of works to your life and try and prove yourself before God, but you will always let yourself down. You are never meant to live without God. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And we have to trust that when God tells us to stretch and when God tells us to move, when we're going through the wilderness experience, there is an agenda that God has to prove himself as God. And even in the vision builder's journey, through all these years where I've done this for like over 10 years, just consistently committing, and that's what Vision Builders is next week, is we're making an annual commitment, a year-long commitment to say, I'm believing that God is calling me to be a part of the vision in this way. And God is calling me to trust him and be reliant on him. And that I need to be dependent on him, and it's always uncomfortable, dependence on God. His way is different. And that willingness, it's a self-inflicted trust exchange. I get up and pray every morning. I get up at 5:20, my alarm goes off every day. Not because I want to. It's not because I'm like, ooh, I'm just such a morning person. And I don't want to sleep. No, because I trust God and because I know I need to give him first and because I know that everything in my life hinges off my willingness to put myself out in order to be reliant on him, and I know the dependence of the vision that God has put over my life. Like, people say, well, you know, I don't know if I have enough time to pray. I don't know if I can afford to use my time. I can't afford not to. When you put yourself in a self-inflicted wilderness, and that's kind of in a way what it is without sugarcoating it, is I don't want to stretch in ways. I don't want to fast. And I don't want to, some of the spiritual habits and the spiritual disciplines is to teach ourselves that we aren't God. And when I have to get down on my knees in the morning and pray to God, it's because, A, he's called me to a vision that it's impossible for me to complete by myself. And any day that I don't go to him, for man doesn't live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I can't live by my self-sufficiency and I can't live by my own feeding. I'm just going to get the keys up. I'm reminding myself and I'm going to God in prayer and I'm like, God, right, it is not about me. It is about you. And so Corinthians says this, 2 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 17 says this, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all. And the last point is that God is holy. The motive of whatever's happening in the wilderness test is to prove the set apartness of God. Because the Israelites went through the wilderness for 40 years and they were given manna in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. There was miracles in the wilderness that happened along the way that proved that God was set apart. It wasn't about their needs. It was about God's glory. And when you and I stretch and as you're preparing to be a part of this, this is, and again, it's an invitation, it's going to hurt. And in years in the past, maybe I've tried to sugarcoat it and say, hey, you know, like, it's not going to be that bad, whatever. No, like, typically what happens in wilderness experiences, and if you feel like that you are in the middle of a chasm of second guessing, confusion, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it, and God actually providing, that is a wilderness. And it's a light and momentary trouble that is producing something in you. And as you voluntarily do the disciplines of Christianity, and what happens is that God builds a story in your life that becomes so God-glorifying and so undeniable that it proves His holiness. And in the last scene of the temptation, the devil takes him to the highest point and says, if you take your worship, and the devil has always wanted to take the worship away from God. If you take your worship, what was the whole point of the wilderness experience? Was to say that this piece of obedience, Jesus saying, I will only do the will of God. I will not self-feed. God, the food for my life is to follow God's purpose and God's will. And God has not said to me to turn these stones into bread, and I will only live by the word of God that comes from His mouth. That is my daily bread. You're mistaken. And so if you don't feel moved, or if you feel swayed, if you and I feel swayed to do anything in life a different way and God's word is not on it, do not act. Do not move. Stop doing things in the confusion and the voidness of the wilderness and guess that it's God. Just be poised and be obedient. If God ain't given you a new word yet, just keep walking out the old one. And I know it's frustrating. That's the point of the wilderness. And I know you're hungry. That's the point of the wilderness. And I know you don't think you can make it. That's the point of the wilderness. And God doesn't lead us to any temptation that He knows that we can't bear. So consider it a compliment from God that the pressure is so much. Because for these light and momentary troubles, and that's all they are, is light and momentary. At the end of the day, you're going to end up dying and going to heaven anyway. So it's a light and momentary trouble. But as you're going through it, in all the frustration and all the things that you're learning to get down on your knees and saying, I cannot rely on myself. I cannot try and take matters into my own hands and expect the same promises from God. That God said in Psalm 91 that I will put myself in a position of refuge and dependency on Him, and then He will come through. I know it's not today. I'm not sure. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's another 10 years from now. But one thing I do know, that if I stay according and with my eyes set fixed on the fact that God is the one who is reliable, He's come through for people and my ancestors in the Bible. He's come through for my friends and family before. And I know that on this testimony, I will defeat the temptations of the enemy. And you're going through this wilderness and God is producing something in you. And so as we lean in and we do things a different way because His ways are higher than our ways. And as we lean in and we act like a church that's not about ourselves, but it's about others, and it's about what God is doing around the world. It's about expanding the kingdom of God. And we have the thought in our heads that if I do this and live this way and serve this way and give this way, that I might miss out. That's a normal human thought. But there is something deeper inside of us that God is producing through the wilderness. That the Bible says is those who laid down their life for my sake will in fact find it, and the righteous will never be left begging for bread. And then the result and the production of all this, the glory that vastly outweighs anything doing it in our own strength, is the end of the story, is Jesus can then go to the next battle, enduring the cross, because He got through the wilderness and God miraculously provided for Him. So therefore, His life becomes a story of worship, because God is set apart. God is holy. And I just want to encourage you in this service or in the next service, I want to encourage you that if you don't know God to actually be provider in your life, to actually come through in the midst of all doubt, that there is an opportunity before you right now to be poised, to trust God, and to trust Him as holy. He loves you. He has got you. Do not waver in your faith. Stay strong. Stay fixed. Stay right in the dwelling of his presence, right under the refuge of who he is. And that's how good God is right now. God's not a distant God, he is close. But do not be someone that walks away from him in the presence of a wilderness that is producing something in you that will become living bread to your life. And the testimony that will help thousands of people around you. Do not derail yourself from the path. Amen. Amen. Just close your eyes and bow your head. Father, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. And the devil, the temptations of this life, the test of this life, is that we are holding back to believe that you're faithful. That we need to feed ourselves. And that you're not really trustworthy, that we need to trust ourselves. And if you're not trustworthy, there's no point worshiping you, so we end up worshiping ourselves. And I don't know who I'm speaking to in this room or in the 11:30 service, but I'm speaking to somebody that's had a reminder here today that God is worthy of all our worship, all our affection, all our attention. Why? Because he is trustworthy. He is reliable. And he is the source and the sustainer of everything our life needs. If we live for your will, God, we do things the way you are saying, what you're speaking over our lives, we become the righteous that are never left begging for bread. So I pray for the person that feels like they're in the chasm of the wilderness, or maybe even hesitating to step out in things like Vision Builders because they're not sure if you're going to come through. Lord God, that you're producing something in us that's going to vastly outweigh any hesitation, any fear, any doubt, and a God story is going to be made known in our lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.